Okay, we're on.
All righty. I would like to call this meeting of the Highway Bridge and Capital Projects Committee to order. And can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Herb's not here with his flag, but we'll survive. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for justice and all. Thank you. Has everyone gotten a chance to look at the minutes from last month's meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of the September meeting.
Motion made by Legislator Green.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Heppner. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Now, before we get to the budget review with Don, we only have two resolutions, so why don't, and they're basic resolutions, so why don't we just do those quick, and then we'll open things up to Don and Tom, if whatever they want to talk about the budget. Okay, the first resolution is resolution number 340. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal shared service agreement with the Town of Gardner for maintenance on county roads, Department of Public Works, highways, and bridges. This is routine with them. It's a three-year deal at $39,409. It's for light summer maintenance work and some snow removal and sanding inner winter months.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Motion carried. Is Legislator Cahill with us today?
He is.
He is. Okay.
Right here, Dean. I'm right above you on my screen.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
You can't see me. Good.
Good, thanks. Resolution number 341, establishing capital project number 575, purchase of a Sephron Vol. Somebody help me out here. Vol-matic?
Volumeric.
How do you say it?
Volumeric, I think.
Yes, volumeric calibration trailer. Department of Public Works, Central to Garage, $40,000. I'm sure it's needed. I'll entertain a motion to accept it. Move it.
I'm moved.
Motion made by Legislator Heppner.
I'll second.
Seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, so Mark, Tom, Don, did you want to talk a little bit about the upcoming budget?
I'm going to kick it over to Tom and Don, whoever.
Okay.
So let me just say that Don has put a lot of work into analyzing the budget and created a summary page for the budget and is prepared to go over some numbers for you. We're also prepared to answer any questions that you might have about the operating budget. We'd be happy to do that. We're mindful that on October 14th, we'll be attending a joint meeting of Ways and Means and Public Works and Capital Projects.
Yeah, that's when I think you're going to get a lot of questions, I'm sure.
For purposes of a capital budget, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So today I'd like to defer to Don to review with you his overview of the operating budget. And then I'm happy to chime in with any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you. Don?
Well, I'm sure you guys don't want me to get into too much of the nitty gritty. So just to give you some of the details on the sheet we sent out, you see that our employees are a little bit down this year. but we felt it was worthwhile to note to you that we added $100,000 into part-time pay. And the intent behind that is to hire retired snowplow drivers on a part-time basis to help reduce costs going forward for snowplowing. And we're doing a little bit of a pilot program this year to see how it goes, to see if we need to adjust it going forward. And we already had one taker, and we were very happy about it. So we got high hopes for that.
We have one retiring DPW worker that's signing up to come back to work for winter. And this isn't just for retiring DPW workers. This is posted and open to whoever might care to work on a seasonal basis as a plow driver.
Right. Okay.
And it's one of the things that we were able to utilize. You know, we worked with Mark quite hard to try to diminish the total numbers of plow runs, and we were able to make some progress on that. And so, you know, we believe we're going to be fine in terms of winter maintenance, but nobody knows what the winter is really going to look like.
Yeah.
And just to bring up, I mean, not that these positions aren't oftentimes busy year round. A lot of the work comes around the plow season, especially for these CDL drivers. And we just felt like where we had retirements and other vacancies, instead of hiring somebody that was going to be year round, we're going to do this pilot program for 2021, 2022, and see how it works, and just hire part-time staff in the winter when we know we have minimum staffing requirements for plow runs. If we determine that it's not working, then we'll reevaluate going forward.
Have we hired any new full-time employees with CDL licenses that will be plowing for 2021?
Yes, we needed to hire some to make up for some of the attrition losses, not just to the retirement incentive. We had a fatality. We had Mr. Hall die heroically in a house fire. We had people go out on disability as a result of the accident on Old Post Road, Albany Post Road.
I understand.
So we've suffered some attrition. We had somebody else die of unknown causes at his home. So yeah. we had to hire a handful.
Right.
Okay. And they're fully licensed. They have their CDLs now.
So do you feel comfortable at this time to say that before the winter season kicks in, you're going to have enough drivers to cover all the routes throughout Ulster County?
Yes.
Without any neglecting?
Yes, we have enough drivers to cover all of the 45 plow runs.
Okay.
Throughout the county. And, you know, barring any catastrophic, you know, weather, we'll be fine.
We'll be fine, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what's in Ulster County, 45 snow plow runs?
Basically, and then there's parking lots and other things. But yes, 45 base runs.
Okay. Now, so this pilot program that you're trying, is it safe to say it's not definitely because of a shortage of funding at this time, or it's just something that you would be trying regardless?
So there are a couple of things we're accomplishing through this. One of them is it's really, we always have a certain amount of attrition. It's nice to bring somebody back who's got experience.
Exactly. We do the same thing.
You know, is a known entity. We know this person. We know this person is somebody that we want. To be able to bring them back post-retirement gives them some extra income.
Right.
While they're on retirement, and it's really a win-win. So it's not so much because of a shortage of funding. We have wanted to do this for several years and never been able to pull the trigger on it. So what's going on with COVID and everything this year and with the heavy attrition of employees, we thought this was the right time to pull the trigger on this.
And so in a way, we are searching all the crevices and this was surfaced. because of there is going to be a revenue shortfall. We're anticipating in 2020 and 2021. So I don't want to gloss over and pretend that this isn't, because I mean, we're reducing costs everywhere. Right. So that's part of this program. As Tom said, it's something they had been looking at doing in the past
for a while. Right. Now these seasonal people, the ones that are brought on either for just summer work or for just, snow removal in the winter time, then there is like there's no health benefits involved. There's no paid time off. They basically come in and they work for a weekly paycheck. Is that correct?
Right. Now this is winter seasonal. Summer seasonal is a different animal. Is a younger person.
Oh, right.
Winter,
it's a younger
winter
person.
Seasonal
right.
is retired. No benefits.
Right.
Is paid on a per diem basis. Yep. And they have to maintain their CDL license, and they have to participate in the drug and alcohol testing pool.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Right.
Right.
And
anybody else have any questions? Yeah, Legislator Hatner, go ahead.
And if I'm correct, if they are retired, you know, former DPW workers from anywhere in the state, right, they're limited in how much salary they can take in addition to the pension.
Right.
Oh,
I believe it's 30,000 max, but we don't anticipate getting there.
Yeah, no, I mean, that'd be a bad winter of overtime.
we'd have a really
bad let's hope not.
Yeah, really. That's the only questions I have. Does anybody else have any other questions?
I do, Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So I'm looking at Central Auto. And I see the personnel line is basically flat, and the contractual line is basically flat. And I'm wondering where the savings is being realized from moving from the Spring Lake Firehouse.
So we will no longer have a lease payment to Spring Lake for the facility. We will also experience a fairly significant savings in energy. That was one of our worst, is one of our worst performing county facilities on the Department of Environment's chart of buildings. It's in the top five, if not the top three, in terms of energy consumption. So we felt the need to close that down, consolidate with at the quarry with the large vehicle maintenance group. Tommy Horvers, who was our lead mechanic for the large equipment, he's leaving. Kim Millian is coming in, and she's going to oversee both operations. So there's both personnel savings at the management level, energy savings, and no longer lease payments to Spring Lake Fire Company.
So where is this showing up in this budget?
So you're not going to see it fully here, because when this budget was drafted, it wasn't a 100% certainty we were moving out. And now that we are moving out, we're going to have a new lease payment for the Spring Lake parking lot over there that we're going to be planned on using for the sheriff's impound lot at some point. So there's not a big savings in terms of the lease, but we're getting a different property, and like Tom's saying, consolidating here in DPW to get the savings in order to do that.
But you would also see savings in the heavy machinery. The Tom Horvers position is eliminated. It's not in Central Auto because he was in the heavy machinery division.
Right.
So you'd see savings there. Just so you're also aware, Legislator Cahill.
Excuse me. Yeah, but the personnel line is flat, right? And the contractual line is flat. That's why I'm asking if there is savings, and I'm not disputing where the savings are. I'm just saying, where are they? I don't see them.
So if you, for the personnel side, if you go up to Highways and Bridges, the maintenance workers of the big diesel trucks get paid out of Highways and Bridges. There's only 7 mechanics and staff for the Central Auto fleet. And then there's additional mechanic staff on the highway vehicles. The savings for Tom Horver's position comes into play on the Highways and Bridges side of the equation.
Okay.
And then the lease payment, like you're saying, it's going to be reallocated towards the new lease payment for the Spring Lake parking lot, and we're going to keep it on the books this year and probably reduce it next year because we don't know how much of a utility cost we're going to pay in the back when we move. And we also have some moving costs, like we have to move the lifts from Central Auto up here.
So what do you guys foresee this saving, say, not in 2021, but 2022, this when everything is all settled down and you have your move done and the personnel have settled down? How much do you foresee this saving moving from Spring Lake to Quarry?
It's hard to put a number on it on the top of the head, but if I had personnel side with Tommy Horror's position, if you assume 50% benefits, probably $100,000 that you're going to realize this year. And then I would say somewhere around $20,000 of contractual annually, because it wasn't a big lease payment out at Spring Lake.
And then, Don, there is the energy cost. We won't
and
be
the energy cost as well.
We won't be, you know, electric and heat.
And yeah, see, also the ability to consolidate the mechanics, the supervisors for both Central Auto and the heavy machinery mechanics being in one location is maybe not something we can put down on numbers or on paper, but that there are, you know, efficiencies there. Yeah. I do want to just bring up one point that we are in talks with another municipality who's looking for garage space, and we have put them towards the Spring Lake Fire Department. Oh, yeah.
No, they told me they've had several people reach out to them once the word was out that you guys were leaving. They've told me that people have reached out to them. People have reached out to them while you were still there, actually, looking at this space, right? I was just, you know, trying to figure, you know, where we would see that savings, because I didn't see it initially there.
Brian, while we don't have a number right now, we could work up something for you that pulls in, on the personnel side, pulls in the energy savings and the lease savings.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We could do that. If you would like that, we'd be happy to do that.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
I only have one more question. It's not really budget related. Our bridge crew. Where are we as far as the number of employees now, say, versus 3 years ago? Is there more bridge employees now full-time or less?
So I would say it a little differently, Dean. I would say that the skill level of those that we have on the bridge crew has been on the decline because of attrition, because of retiring and other things. However, Brendan Masterson and Bobby Moores are working at moving highway personnel around to supplement the bridge crew. And I would say when you bring those supplemental employees on board, we are attending to the number of employees on the bridge crew. Skill level is something else again. And there's no question that, you know, from between the days that we did the Carmen Liberta Bridge in New Paltz to today, they probably don't have the capacity to do that size of a bridge in-house anymore. So we are going to see more bridges get contracted out. I will say one more thing. The five employees that we took on full time for plow runs. We took them on full time with an eye towards supplementing the bridge crew with highway workers that they helped to cover. Yeah. So this is an ongoing process. We're looking for highway workers that have some construction background, who have a work ethic, who aren't afraid to get out on a I-beam or on
I know what you mean. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You need somebody that's got some spatial awareness and good balance and you know, has some strength.
Yeah. And the only reason why I bring this up is because in the 15 years that I've been a legislature, when it came to highway and bridges, our highway department, I'll tell you what, was complimented halfway across the state of New York. We had one of the sharpest, most sophisticated, getting more work accomplished than most counties in New York State. And I would just hate to see that diminish, because I know that bridge work is extremely important.
Right.
And that's the only reason why I bring it up. And I hope that we don't have to show or see any decline in that effort there.
So, Dean, I'm totally on board with that. We are working very, very hard to keep the bridge crew, a shining example of what Ulster County can do.
That's right.
Yeah. If you talk to Bobby Morris, he's never satisfied, but that's a different matter. If you talk to Brendan Masterson, he's fairly confident that we can keep, it's stocked with workers. Okay.
Yep, very good.
So Dean, I have a quick, Chairman Fabiano, I got a quick question. So in regard to the bridge crew there, so do you guys actively do like an internal apprenticeship program to bring the skill levels up from, internally to enhance the bridge? Because my recollection is, from now till now, right? The last time I was here till now, from then till now, rather, is that the when we used our bridge crew, we saved a ton of money, right? I mean, a lot of money on every project, right? So for me, I'm thinking that that's a worthwhile investment for us to, even if we have to spend money, right, to train some of our employees on some of the skills that you were mentioning. Obviously, you can't teach them strength and balance unless, of course, we send them to football camp or something. But, overall, I'm thinking, that would be something maybe we look for in the future, to have some sort of internal apprenticeship program to move into the bridge shop, right? Because, look, man, in the long run, it's best if we do it ourselves, right?
I agree. Brian, let me just add a couple of comments to your question. One is that a year or so ago, Brendan Masterson pushed very hard, worked with the personnel department to create specific bridge titles. Previous to him doing so, they were just highway titles, MEO, CEO1, CEO2. Now he's got titles that are a half step above those, Bridge Worker 1, Bridge Worker 2, Bridge Crew Leader. He's got those titles. They're a bump up in pay, hourly rate. And most importantly, we're using that as a way of attracting those that are interested in learning the skill set to the bridge crew. It's hard to go out with, job notices, job postings, and get somebody that's got that skill set. So you're absolutely right. We have to mentor them. We have to put, but that's hands-on. You put them on the bridge crew, and then the others around them will teach them what to do. That's the apprenticeship program. But we are starting to attract a better caliber of worker to the bridge crew, because there's some stature to it. There's a little bit of an increase in pay. Overtime is a different animal for the bridge crew, because if they're on a bridge project up in Sundown, it's, they got to finish the day.
Right.
They're on the road. They work a longer day. So there's that incentive too. So yes, we're very mindful of the need to do hands-on training with these people.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Does anybody else have any questions for Tom or Don or Mark?
Chairman, I have a new business item while they're still here.
Sure. Go ahead, Manager.
I just want to let them know that we had somebody present at the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee on greener concrete.
Right.
And that was a very brief 5-minute presentation. We did get the slides, which helped make it more clear, because, I tend to be interested in a wide range refrigerant management, anything that can help with climate solutions. This one is still fuzzy to me, even with the slides, but in November, and I'll get the exact date, they're doing a full hour-long presentation, so I want to be sure to let Tom and his department know, because apparently municipalities can really be sort of technology forcing in the sense of, if it works for municipalities because of the amount of concrete we use, that can help build up a market. And if it seriously can reduce climate emissions or help with climate sequestration, then we should at least look into it. So I'll let you know exactly when that is.
Thanks, Mana Jo. I did look over the information that you forwarded me. I shared it with my staff, engineering staff, highway staff, and project manager staff. And I asked them all to please review it and report back to me with, you know, where we are, where is that market now? And I'm in agreement with you that it's going to take municipalities to drive the demand. Having said that, none of those, you know, low carbon concrete is not yet on the NYSDOT approved list of materials. It needs to go there. It needs to go there so that there's some incentive for local producers to make that concrete and make it available, because the last piece of this puzzle is you can't buy it from far away or you're burning fossil fuels to transport it.
Yeah. Right?
So we need a local source, and that local source needs a reliable market or demand for the product. And I think we're not there yet, but I see no reason we can't get there.
And that can also involve economic development and IDA over time. But I think the next step is to, you know, have possibly, if they can make it, some of your crew watch the longer presentation.
Okay.
And they have the background to ask the tough questions. For right. me, this is a little bit out of my element, but my job is to bring the information and then we can take it from there. So I just wanted to let you know that's pending.
Agreed. And thank you for copying me with that information.
Anybody have any else? New business or old business? Okay, bearing none, I will.
Wait. Go Yankees.
Yeah. We're going to get off in time.
You're going to get off in time. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
All right. I'll make a motion.
Motion made by Legislator Cahill.
Second.
Second by Legislator Heppner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. And
thank you.
Be safe, and we'll see you soon.
Okay,
take care.
Hey, Mana, there is a question in the chat that looks like it's for you from Paul. From the Mid-Hudson News about the concrete. I don't know if you're still on.
Who?
I am still on.
Is the carbon concrete similar to hempcrete?
I don't know.
To what?
To hempcrete. Is the carbon concrete similar to hempcrete?
Not that I know of. There was no mention of hempcrete in the presentation, but if you send me a request to manajo@AOL, I can send you the slides.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
My
pleasure. Take care, everybody.
Night, all.
Night.